All right, this meeting is called to order at 7:35 p.m. I'm going to appoint Juan Gordon for Jeff Scala. The rest of the members are here. First order of business is approval of the minutes of February 8th, 2023.
Chairman, I move that we accept the minutes of the February 8th, 2023 regular meeting.
I second that.
Thank you, Jeremy. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Residents Forum. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak on any item that is not on the agenda tonight. No one is seeking recognition, either here or online. So we'll move to staff reports.
Mike, do you want to go first?
You have to hit the got it.
Go, you go, you can go for it.
anything.
Hey, Tom, on his screen.
What's the matter with the screen?
Go ahead.
There you go.
Thank you.
Shall I go?
Yes, please.
Okay. Still working on some senior housing regs, the fine tuning of that. Been working on some of the four town initiative, which is Canal Connecticut's Countryside. And if any of you wanted to see that summit, it is up online on our website now. And I think Arlene, I sent it to you because you were part of the group who couldn't attend, right?
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay. And other than that, just kind of general meetings and stuff, not a lot going on right now. That's all I really have, Mike.
So we, as Patrice said, have been working on the housing regs. We have met with a couple of people, or one most recently, about some potential reuse or renovation of their commercial property and how to best facilitate that within the regs. I've had an unwelcome uptick in zoning complaints, which has taken up some additional time. And we, Danielle and I, completed the address migration with the town's permitting system to fix those issues. So that's done. Just plugging along.
All right, we'll move on to public hearings. Continuation zoning regulation amendments regarding cannabis. Application number PL-22-6. Do you need to read the call again, or do you just do that at the beginning?
No, because it's a continuation. So it is a continuation of each of the three public hearings. I again would take them one at a time. We have received some correspondence, which I don't know if it's for or against, so I can read it at the either now or later, whichever you'd like, if you want to take the people who are actually here first, and then we could read correspondence or whatever you prefer.
Yeah, why don't you read the correspondence in first?
Okay. The first correspondence I received was from Bob DiPietro, and it is addressed to Chairman Manning. Dear Tom, the issue of the Board of Selectmen stating policy on cannabis regs in town was discussed tonight, I think he meant at last night's meeting. And although not conclusive, the consensus seemed to be that rather than the board taking an official position as a whole, it would be more appropriate for individual selectmen who have an opinion one way or the other to provide feedback as they might choose. The basic premise being that if a business entity applied to the Planning and Zoning Commission, they should go through the same process as any other applicant, which would probably or most likely be similar to the approval process required for a new package store. And then he says the latter is where I personally come down. And that is from Bob DiPietro, and it was sent via email on Today is when I received it. I think it was sent last night. I also received an email today from I just had it open. Bill Anderson, dated today, March 8th, to the members of the commission and public. It was mentioned at the last public hearing that the plan of conservation and development did not address cannabis related business. It does not, nor should it, but the word business is used 103 times throughout the document. What was not in the plan of conservation and development was what business types should be encouraged or discouraged. One of the sorries, in quotes, on page 14, quote, was the lack of business development, end quote. The category with the highest number of planning points was, quote, business development, end quote, on page 15. Early on in the development of cannabis growing facilities throughout the United States was the complaint of the smell of flowering plants. This issue has been mostly rectified with advanced filtration and venting of the air being discharged from the facility. Within Public Act 21-1, it also states that, quote, the terms agriculture and farming do not include the cultivation of cannabis as defined in Section 1 of the Act, page 234. It does not mean that zoning regulations can't be developed to allow it. It just means that cannabis cultivation is not afforded the same as of right in every zone status that agriculture and farming enjoy. It appears that the plan of conservation and development is in favor of allowing both a dispensary and cultivation facilities in Bolton as state regulations allow with proper zoning protections as with alcohol sales and obnoxious fumes. Thank you, William Anderson, 77 French Road, Bolton. And then we just got this from Rhea Klein for Bayberry Road in Bolton. Dear Mr. Chairman, as I am unable to attend this meeting tonight, please accept this communication as my testimony and include it in the records. My husband and I have resided in Bolton for approximately 40 years, and we love the small town and agricultural environment. However, we are cognizant of the need for the creation of business opportunities for our town within the areas that have been zoned for that purpose. Recently, the Dollar General and all fresh businesses have provided products and services that the residents of Bolton need while providing increased revenue. With respect to a cannabis dispensary, I believe Bolton should support this zoning for this business in an appropriate business corridor that currently exists. There will most likely be dispensaries in adjacent towns that will take advantage of providing a product that people want without providing Bolton with the revenue that it desperately needs. Hopefully the Planning and Zoning Commission will understand that this business is a good fit for Bolton. I don't believe that this business will place undue burdens on police or town management above and beyond any other business. It is no different than the liquor stores that are on West Street or in the strip mall next to the post office. Finally, I know that there hasn't been a large response to the opportunity for residents to voice their opinion. However, in my experience, the residents of Bolton usually come out for those initiatives that they are not in favor of. If you have been watching the budget process in this town over the years, it is evident that individuals don't want to pay higher real estate taxes. If my understanding is correct, adding business should reduce real estate taxes in kind. I appreciate the opportunity to address the commission and look forward to a positive decision. Sincerely, Rhea Klein. Those are all the correspondences we have received on the matter.
So we have two correspondents, two for, one against against is basically what we're looking at.
That wasn't what I understood. They all appear to be.
They appear, well, I think Bob's is for it like a package store. And I think the other two, Bill Anderson's is for it, and I think Reyes is also for it.
Oh, interesting. That's not how I read that.
Yeah. There were also comments in a newspaper. I don't know if you really include that as part of the comments in the record, but there were comments from the first selectman made who was actually looking for you to hold the decision for some time to see how it goes first. And then there were comments, I think, from Mr. Mora, but I believe he's in your audience and may want to comment on his own there.
They're both here.
Oh, they're both here. Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't see Pam. Sorry.
Okay, is there anyone online who would like to address this matter? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone here who would like to address this matter?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I would just make clear which matter. You have three matters on the agenda, so you might want to make clear which one we're going to discuss first.
One, two, or three? One, we're going to go with one.
And Cheryl, you unmuted yourself. Did you want to speak?
You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yeah, basically, I live within walking distance of the beautiful Dollar General store, and I've heard that there's another parcel there. 44 and 6 are the business zoned areas. To have another, not another, I won't say another, business, like Bria said, like a liquor store, less than a mile from a liquor store we already have at the Notch, might be not the best place for it. I mean, I'm in favor of having the regulations, and I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel when it comes to the regulations. There's other towns out there already. The state has some. So if we just kind of follow the best rule of thumb, I would be in favor of it, but not in my backyard, please. Not anymore. We got enough. That's it.
And what's your address, please?
31 Keeney, K-E-E-N-E-Y Drive.
Thank you.
Yes.
Now, Bob.
Okay. I don't think you have to. You can be heard now with the new.
I can hear you, Bob. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So then I'll just remain sitting if you don't mind. Yes. I'm here to speak on 1, 2, and 3, actually. And I've given this considerable thought on a lot of different aspects. One is, we'll take them one at a time. I mean, one is the sale of recreational cannabis. I personally am opposed to it. I don't think we need another means of mind-altering materials to be out on the marketplace. But it seems that the majority of state legislature, in their zeal to generate more money, went ahead and approved it anyways. I doubt it. Well, I might have felt better if these funds were geared towards mental health or dealing with addictions, which inevitably will be tied into use of this material. And I know that some of it is pure recreational and may not be in that matter, but a great deal of it impairs individuals. And the one area that is most troubling is drivers. We do not have a proper means of determining if someone is truly impaired. And if you are aware of recent statistics of the number of individuals in serious accidents and actually killed in primarily due to an impaired driver, it's staggering. You would think at this time in our society, this would have gone down. We've tightened down on our liquor laws so that if you have virtually two drinks, you're almost at that point. We haven't even addressed this in the cannabis issue. So I don't feel that we should be supporting the sale of a material that I think could be a serious detriment to the safety of folks in town and other people in the state. One. Number two, the incentive put out by the state of Connecticut is that you get a piece of the action. Well, I don't think the town should be, a drug dealer. In essence, a legal drug dealer, but being a drug dealer. I don't think our community needs that. And I don't think it's an asset to the community. Now, if someone wants to buy it, it's readily available. No law. You can go to Manchester. I'm sure if Vernon will have one. And with the University of Connecticut, 15 minutes away, I'll guarantee there'll be a number of outlets there. So it's not as if not having a outlet in Bolton is going to impair anyone's ability to buy this. You have to drive 15 minutes to go to a damn grocery store. You sure as hell can drive 15 minutes to buy pot. I mean, that's just the reality of life. So with that said, I frankly feel it would not be an asset at this time to allow cannabis to be sold here. However, I am reasonably open-minded. It says this is something that is just starting in the state. We really have not seen its impact, both economically. Is it this boom that everyone seems to think it is, or isn't it? What is the impact to our citizenry? We don't know yet. So I think it would behoove us to wait at least a year, if not 18 months, before we consider allowing the sale of cannabis in our community. And about the growth of the cannabis, that's a very specialized field. And I actually looked at it to see what it is. It is specialized, and I think Mr. Anderson noted it. It's enclosed. Security is very tight. The process is, it's an expensive process to do. And quite frankly, if you have one in two or three regions in the state of Connecticut, that could supply the state. Simply one expanded grower, two or three. And I don't think there's a need for it here, nor if we're gonna support growth of a product in here, I'd like it to be a vegetable or fruit or a product that enhances our lives and our health rather than something that impairs us. Yeah. I'll leave that and go with that. And let's see the last one. Oh, extending moratorium. I simply would say, I know extension of moratorium, they only like run 2 or 3 months. I don't know if it's worth extending it anymore. You certainly have allowed a lot of people to put their input in there, but somewhere along the way, decision has to be made. And I feel the proper decision is to say, no, we will not allow the sale of cannabis or the growth of it in this community, and that the board will revisit it, I would say periodically, whether it be annually, every year and a half. And I think that's a proper method of doing it. In this way, you'll have data. You'll have real data to make a decision, data that we don't have now. Everybody's guessing. Everybody's hoping. The comments on income are based on what it might be. But we have nothing in the state of Connecticut to support that one way or the other. So let's see what it is and what the real data is. And I think the board can make a more sound decision after we have that data. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak on this matter?
Thank you, Bob.
Item one, public hearing number one. retail sales.
May I?
Yes.
I did have
Pam Sawyer.
Pam Sawyer, 95 South Road, Bolton, for selectmen. I did do some contact with a small town in Western Massachusetts that I thought was fairly similar on their experience of having the cannabis sales in their towns. And one of the things that I found in the discussion was they said it was a greater pressure on their police force. So following that thought, one of the things we know in Bolton is that we have a very solid, but not depth of bench police force. We have two resident state troopers, both of which serve there 40 hours, 5 days on, 3 days off. One for days, one for nights. And that the other time we are served by resident state troopers from all around Troop K area, which is a very large area, Salem all the way up to here. What I'm trying to impress upon you is having more pressure on our policing could get very expensive if we have to increase our police force. And having to rely on the state police as it's structured now, they're very low on their enrollment in the academies, and they are very low in their numbers from a lot of retirements that they've had in the past 2 years. So I do not support at this time allowing the sales of the product in the special in those zones. And it is on, for that matter, it is on, I believe, a mission that we don't have enough information on. How much money do we get from it? Should that be the driving force? Or should it be the quality and value of the item that we're looking at bringing into town? And I'm not in support of it. If I may go on to the second one, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I would have a comfort level with prohibiting it. I did say in the paper that I thought a 3-year moratorium would give us time to study it, to look around and see where it is. It successful in other towns? Is it something that's drawing people to their town? Does Bolton want to be known as a cannabis seller? We are known for other things, and rightly so. It's the world headquarters, isn't it? It's the manufacturing headquarters, and certainly a confectionery world headquarters that we're very proud of. Is this something that we want to be known for? So I'm in support of number two, but if you want to revisit it in 3 years, then you do. Another board, perhaps you'll all be sitting here in another 3 years. Perhaps the other members will be decided to bring, we'll bring it back up. So that sort of leads into number three, which I think I've answered it. But I am coming to you as the head of your police force in the town of Bolton by our town charter. And I believe that would be a great strain on our policing town. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak on this matter? Items 1, 2, or 3 regarding cannabis regulations.
Mr. Chairman, this is the clerk.
Yes.
If anyone in the audience is speaking and they're sitting in the back, can they just move a little closer? Because Pam, I could hear most of what Pam was saying, but it was getting kind of faint.
I think if you're here, you can sit there.
Okay. I didn't have any trouble hearing her at all. So maybe I have it turned up louder. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I heard most of it, but she has a soft voice, so.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
State your name and address, please.
Andrew Latiga, 2812 Boston Turnpike. I want to just speak on campus and just say that I am pro-business, and I do think Bolton should do everything in the power to promote cannabis along with a lot of other economic developments, not just cannabis, but just economic development in general. Cannabis business have a unique advantage here where they do create money and they do donate back to the municipalities, and they also reinvest in their communities. Some of the investments from this 3% tax that actually goes back into the town does help promote things like education programs, streetscapes improvements, mental health, youth services, and community engagement type programs. These are at the discretion of what the town wants to utilize these funds for, and it has the ability to actually use these funds in the ways that they feel that they should be appropriated, which gives the town the ability to kind of say and dictate what they want to do and what they feel like that money should be used for to kind of enhance the areas and neighborhoods. There has been a lot of other places in different states that the cannabis revenues that they do generate do really help the neighborhoods, and it helps teach and educate people, not only with mental health addictions and stuff like that, but also with the values of it and the risks of it as well. And I think it's important that everybody has a full knowledge of what cannabis is, what it does and what it doesn't do, and what it can do and what it does help. Cannabis has been proven to be, cannabis is not the evil gateway drug. A lot of people, you know, sometimes come off and think that it is. And this is only a very, very small percentage of people that really, you know, think that way of cannabis. In fact, cannabis has been actually shown to be better for mental health, healing, and certain abilities and illnesses, more so than even pharmaceuticals. People are realizing nowadays that, you know, cannabis, you know, doesn't have all the nasty side effects as a lot of these pharmaceuticals that are being prescribed to people on a daily basis. I think we can all agree that every time we see a pharmaceutical commercial on TV and they show the rosy fields and the flowers and the grass and people having fun, at the end of every single one of these pharmaceutical commercials, they talk about all the nasty side effects, all the dizziness, the vomiting, the diarrhea, the bleeding, the headaches, the liver failure, all these other things. And what it does is it creates them to take another pill and another pill. And I know personally people that are prescribed pills and pill after pill after pill, and they have this entourage of pills that they take to try to help heal whatever ailments they have. And I personally know a lot of people that have actually had cannabis come into their lives being medically prescribed to them, where they go and they go to these pharmacists and they actually get the cannabis, and it's helped relieve not only the side effects that they've had from the pharmaceuticals and stuff that they had, but it helps relieve the pain and all the other things that they've had that they've been dealing with. And it's been on a much more natural thing. They don't have these side effects anymore. So I think that's something a lot of people need to really educate themselves on and just kind of learn a little bit more of, about some of the benefits that, you know, cannabis does really have. It's also known that, like in the United States, throughout the United States, polling, 88% of people in the United States think that cannabis should be legal recreationally and medically. So that's a huge percentage of people with, you know, that's almost 9 out of 10 people agree that this should be a legal and it should be accessible for everybody. And it is an up and coming thing. Whether we want to, you know, believe it or not, it's here and it's coming and it's started by every state. It's coming along and it's not slowing down. And it's only a matter of time before this is actually to be federally legal in every single state. At this time, the people that with a medical cannabis card can actually grow this in their house. They have the legal right and ability to do that right now today. And starting on July 1st in 2023, everybody will have the ability to grow in their house without any odor control, without any regulation, without, you know, the town saying whether they can. They don't have to come to the town for permits. They can use whatever water source they want, whatever sewer source, and the town has no ability to say that they can't do this. So it just shows the progression of what this is and what we need to be aware of coming. And to further showcase the progression of this plant and what it actually does and the ongoing desire to learn and educate more about it, we have the biggest university here in the state, which is UConn, and we also have Eastern, that have programs that are specific to cannabis education and to teach and to teach the students about it, to create jobs and to create the next level of what we're all learning to do with the progression of the plant, the healing abilities, and all of the other things that this plant does for people in a positive way. And, you know, and this is, like I said, this is being done by one of the biggest, the most recognized universities in the state, or even in the country for that matter. So, you know, with both UConn and Eastern supporting this, it really shows that this is a movement that they're very proud of, and they're teaching it, and people are, you know, going to learn more about this. And this is also an industry that's creating jobs, lots of jobs. This is an exciting industry. You know, package store jobs are not really exciting jobs, but the cannabis, you know, for them to be, you know, to want to teach this and want people to learn more about it, I think it just says a lot about the progression of this. And it does state, if you look at the UConn website, it says UConn is a national leader in cannabis research and education and the extension outreach, helping to advance the knowledge and opportunity for cannabis horticultural NCT and beyond. So, you know, this is a very important, you know, thing that people need to recognize and just be aware of. And you could also look at a lot of the other states that surround us. Some of these states like Massachusetts and Rhode Island have been already doing this for 5 and 10 years. And they've had very little problems, very little issues with this. And it's created, and it has the ability to create a lot of good. And that's why towns need to consider this. And that's why even every single town around us has considered it and is actually participating in it. The Vernon is, Coventry is, Mansfield is, Manchester is, you know, so it's like, it's becoming very, very accepted. And I don't feel that waiting and certain things, you know, sometimes you don't want to be the last to something because then you get the scraps, and it's better to be an innovator and to kind of realize like what you have before you and try to maybe to attract some of this economic development that could come your way, could help out with tax revenue, not even just from that, but the jobs, the building, the infrastructure, and just getting some of these types of businesses here. And I also feel like a small town like Bolton that has 3 package stores and is looking to put a 4th package store in, you know, should be able to have a retail location for a cannabis store and potentially a micro cultivation facility as well. Other than that, I just think cannabis business coming to town would be a great economic development creator, a tax revenue generator, and I do support the retail of cannabis and a micro cultivation use in town. You know, provided, you know, obviously being away from schools and stuff like that, I think there needs to be certain boundaries set in place. But I think it has the ability to really highlight the town and bring a lot of recognition to the town, just like it did UConn as they advertised cannabis as being a highlight of one of their college and their curriculum. And if anybody has any questions, happy to answer them. And I think it's a good thing.
Thank you. So at this point, it's time for the board to discuss within the public hearing, because we have to, anything we discuss outside the public hearing has to be first raised here.
So, can we add to our comments? Can we add to our comments? Or it's a one and done.
No, sure.
It's Bob Moore, 15 Thinker Pond Road. And I apologize because this gentleman brought up a point that I wanted to mention as well, and that had to be with the use of medical marijuana. And I absolutely have no objection to that, because quite frankly, like any other regulated, if you will, a drug, I think it's highly effective. We all know friends and family who benefit from it, particularly many cancer patients. It's a huge boon to them. And as the gentleman says, it doesn't have the side effects that so many other things do. My opposition is sale of recreational cannabis. And as this gentleman noted, you can grow the damn thing in your yard, in your backyard. If that's the case, then grow it in your yard, use it yourself. And you then become responsible for everything that happens, good, bad, or indifferent. I don't think the community should be a part of it. Thank you.
So I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I don't know who can answer them, but the gentleman talked about the money, and I guess I've heard it's 3% comes back to the town. So where does that money go? I mean, he was saying it goes to, you know, education, and that's just going to go in the general fund, right?
Correct.
Am I right? So it doesn't specify where that money is spent. It's not spent on healthcare. Okay, I'm just asking a question. Go ahead. I don't know if she can answer my question.
Yes.
It would be up to the Board of Selectmen to, once it comes into the general fund, it could become a designated fund, and it could be specific for something. But that is for
That's the Board of Selectmen, right? That there's no ordinance that the state says we're giving you 3% and you have to use 1% or 2% or all 3% for education of the product.
That's correct.
So it just goes in the general fund.
New truck tires for this.
Okay.
Could be used for any number.
Right. The other question. Right. And one thing I have a comment is that, you know, as far as I don't know, you know, my concern is the police department or the state troopers, however you want to say that. I don't know if these businesses need more assistance from the legal aspect, the police. But all I know is if there's an issue, I mean, I've had an issue at the garden center and it took a state trooper 45 minutes to get there because he was coming from Salem. So if there's an issue at a store, and I don't know if there are, I mean, I have no clue. I've never been to one of these stores. I mean, is that something that's going to be a problem in the long run? It would be one of my concerns. I mean, if it took them 45 minutes, then obviously, you know, it's just, I'm just, there was no threat there, but it took, and he said, I'm sorry, I was on the other side of Salem. I mean, I don't know if cannabis stores have issues. I don't know if they have their own security people. I don't know any of that. So that would be one of my concerns. And the other thing is if people, like Bob said, I mean, I didn't realize that people could grow it in their backyard. So one question I would have is how much can they grow? Can they just fill their whole backyard and grow it?
Two plants per person.
Oh, 12 plants.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Per person?
Per household. So, and those 12 plants, the way that typically cannabis can grow, a plant can, I mean, you could grow a plant in certain horticultural methods allow a plant to take up a 10 by 10 area. Yeah. I mean, they can get massive. And that's what you would do if you're trying to utilize that per plant ability that you have. But I also think that the other important thing is it's like, we don't want everybody growing in their house because what it's going to do is it's going to be around kids. It's going to be around children. It's going to be around the wrong thing. It's going to smell. The neighbors are going to smell it. It could have electrical issues, you know, and this is why it's more important to understand these things moving forward, where you can set a place in town that maybe has sewers and has the ability where they can do it themselves. So people don't feel the need that they have to do it. They can just go right down to the local place where it is safe, secure. It is tested. So that's the other thing. When you have these certain cultivation facilities, like a micro-cultivation place, like they're held to certain standards. So their product has to be brought to a place like UConn or brought to a place to be tested for pesticides, for mold, for stuff like that. People growing these things in their backyards or in their basements, they're not held to those standards. They grow these big, massive plants. And if they have mold and this and that, they can hand that stuff out to anybody and there's no regulation. There's nothing to come back. And that's why it's like you let the professionals do what the professionals do. You let them do the rules and regulations and spend the money in the town on the infrastructure and the economic development to do it the right way. And that's why it's important, you know, and that's why another reason why it's like you want to be able to help these establishments get up running and created with as much restriction as you need to feel safe and comfortable. But with as little as where they want to come to your town and not be overburdened with rules, regulation, costs, and all this other stuff to try to make it where I'm just going to go to another town. So I think it's a balance of getting it all done. But once again, these are the professionals. This is what they do. They have the state-of-the-art facilities, the state-of-the-art ventilation, state-of-the-art lights and everything. And that's what they do. And that's why it's better for them to do it than obviously the homeowner that wants to just try to do it and who knows what they get out.
So that was my other question. So I know we're talking about store, but as far as growing, we've said that it had to be in industrial areas. Am I correct?
The regulations that were presented at the hearing do not include cultivation.
Right. Okay.
We've already discussed that we will not have cultivation.
Okay.
Due to the lack of sewer.
Right. That's because I was wondering, can this, if someone came in, if I decided to turn my garden center into a growing facility, could, and I bought more units, say, to the sewer, could I do that? I shouldn't say me, but could someone do that and not affect the sewer if it's already an existing place, or how does that work?
Since I chair the sewer authority, I can answer that. Each existing, particularly on existing properties, are have what's called an EDU, which is, mm-hmm. it's an allotment. and they're assigned to that. And if you have a business that's going to come in, it's going to increase that significantly. They have to go before the authority, and they have to buy additional units to be allowed to do that. And in the authority, in my understanding, you know, which is exceedingly limited, I would admit it, on the amount of water that's used, but I understand it's significant in that process, particularly if it's a large operation. And the authority has to make a decision as to, are we going to allow a facility to use up a significant reserve portion of what we have, and which would limit any other development further down the pipe? And that becomes a part of the discussion with the authority. And I can't answer what that is. I'm one member of a 7-member board, but you simply can't walk in and say, yep, yeah, I'm pounding into the sewer, I'm going to go ahead and do it. No, you would have to come before the board. You'd have to present data as to what the flow would be, and then the commission would then have to make a decision whether they would allow you 30, 40, 50, whatever units they want or not.
So I guess my question is, if there's an existing business,
yep,
that already has a sewer hookup.
Right.
So say Georgina's.
Right.
Say George said, hey, I'm tearing this place down. I'm going to build a growing facility. Right. And he's probably got tons of units because of his restaurant. Does a sewer authority say, no, we don't want that sewage? Or that can
the only thing we can restrict is based
he can't probably use more units.
Well, yeah, other than the units, as far as, yeah, we do have, there are restrictions of what can go into it. And that
was my question.
Yeah, okay. That's determined by the recipient of the, and that's the town of Manchester. It's the restrictions are what the town of Manchester sewer authority has on theirs. And whether cannabis discharge into that is allowed, that I don't know. I mean, I'd be happy to find out for the board. I can present that material. I can get it to Tom in a couple of days so you have it for discussion. But I don't know if that's what the situation is in the town of Manchester.
Right. Well, I think we've decided that we don't want it. I was just wondering if it is grown, whatever's going in there, if there are spring, you know, is the end recipient whoever's doing that, you know? So George says, yeah, I'm going to do that, but we don't know what that's going to have effect down in the town of Manchester.
There isn't a facility that's currently tied in that comes in close to what a significant growing facility would require.
Okay.
In the restaurant.
And I think I got all my questions in. Thank you.
Can I jump in quick?
Yes.
So I've been listening, and it seems like people are hungry for data. So I'm going to try to throw a little bit of data into this, because, you know, why not put everybody to sleep? So recently, people may have seen in the news, actually, that the town of Canton approved a cannabis retail facility on Albany Turnpike, and they did a lot of legwork, which I'm going to steal and pirate. So they actually polled 32 towns in Massachusetts that have one or more cannabis facilities. None of them cite an increase in crime, traffic, trash, et cetera. The only real issues that came up was in basically Northampton, because that was the first retail establishment basically on this half of the United States. And that was more of a tourist type of situation than it was a traffic issue. So of the 32 towns polled, some of which have multiple cannabis retailers, I'm not speaking to cultivation, none of them cited any negative measurable increases in any of those things. The other thing is that if you look at the ITE, which is basically how you determine trip generation, a cannabis retailer is within that code seen to generate approximately the equivalent traffic to a coffee shop with drive-through, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 35 trips during a peak hour in and out. The last thing is that there are At least as of the time the RERACA Act was passed for cannabis, limitations on how the town can spend funds once collected by a retailer or from a retailer. And so as of that time, it includes one, using the funds to make improvements to streetscapes and other neighborhood developments in and around each community. Two, fund education programs, youth unemployment or training programs in the town. Three, fund services for individuals released from the custody of the Commissioner of Corrections, probation or parole and residing in the municipality. Four, fund mental health or addiction services. Five, fund youth service bureaus established pursuant to such and such 10-19M statutes. And six, to fund efforts in the promote of civic engagement in communities. There, that may be modified. I don't know, the session is currently ongoing and I don't know if that's gonna be looked at, but the other thing I wanted to mention is there are specific state requirements for security. The RERACA bill is 65 pages and they have very specific criteria for the types of security, redundant security, when deliveries can happen, how the vehicles come and go. The stuff can't come to the retail establishment unless it's packaged and labeled. It's not coming in a big box and they're wrapping it up and packaging it there. There's strict state limitations on the types of advertising, the types of signage that are allowed. The statute is, there's a joke here, but the statute is chapter 420. So if you want to take a look at that, I'd be happy to send it along, but there's significant obligations on their behalf, which fall under the state processes.
So I think one of the key points is that it just doesn't go into the general fund and can get used to offset taxes. It has to go towards certain items that you just listed that are called out in the statute, Mike, is that right? For the tax money that comes in.
Yeah.
It's specifically earmarked. It can't just go into the general fund and offset taxes.
Right. I suppose you could bring it in and use it to offset something, you know, sort of like bring it in, put it into this fund and perhaps use it to pay down an existing service and move that money elsewhere. But yeah, it's gotta be appropriated in those specific ways.
Thank you.
So
yes,
I have a question for clarification. When we first started talking about this, we said that it was more similar to a pharmacy than it was a package store. Is that still the situation when we regulate it?
So yeah, when the original act was passed and the statute says if you don't develop regs, you have to regulate it like a similar use. The knee-jerk reaction was, okay, liquor store. But in the discussions that came following that, the thinking was, no, it's something similar to more of like a pharmacy. I don't think anybody has sort of pushed that with the state and say, make us treat it like a pharmacy. We haven't gotten there yet. But that was what was conveyed to me by some of the council that in other towns, as far as what we would treat it as if a use came in before we could adopt regs.
A pharmacy without a drive-through.
Willington will have a drive-through.
Oh, it will. Oh, I didn't know they. I didn't think they were allowed as a retail use. Okay.
Yep, it was approved by the state.
Okay.
Will they have a pharmacist there? Will they be treating it like a pharmacy, or is that up to the discretion of the town?
So we adopted regulations, so they came in under those criteria. It's being treated in every other way as retail. We didn't have separate parking requirements or any other obligations. So in that sense, yes, the only difference was, you know, it would be much easier to locate a pharmacy than it would be for a cannabis, but we didn't change any other standards separate from retail.
So there's really no way to separate medical sales from recreational if you have a town that's pro pro medical use, but not so much for recreational use?
You can, there are different classes of licenses. So medical marijuana does not fall under the adult use cannabis statutes. So towns have had medical marijuana dispensaries for multiple years. And if you prohibit adult use cannabis, you're not also obligated to lump in medical. It's a separate licensing. They don't fall under the lottery process or any of those things, unless an existing medical dispensary wants to go and basically co-locate and become a hybrid where they would do retail and medical.
Oh, so they're not sold at the same place?
They can or they cannot be, or they are not.
They can do both.
You can go for a hybrid, but they are separate licenses altogether.
So if someone opened a cannabis store, that's just recreational. It might be medical to someone just going in and buying it, but it's not actually being prescribed. Is that right?
Yeah, the process to obtain a medical marijuana license with the state is different. So someone just opening a retail operation would not necessarily be providing that because of some identified medical need or anything along those lines. It's just a retail location.
So someone who needs it medically, will they still need it? Will they need a prescription, or they just go to these stores?
They would still have the prescription, whether or not they'd be precluded from where you can fill that. I would imagine you'd go to a medical dispensary, but they could certainly purchase it retail as well.
Might be cheaper to do it via whatever they can get through a medical prescription than it is to just go buy it recreationally.
I can elaborate a little bit on that. So the two licenses are different. They are basically, you can house a hybrid license at the same location. They have two separate entrances. One is for medical, one is for recreational. The medical, you can get a stronger prescription of cannabis that has a higher THC content. And you also get the medical benefit where you don't have to pay the taxes and the stuff like that because you're getting it medically prescribed and you can actually use your insurance and stuff like that. So it's actually cheaper and you can get a higher quality there versus going to the recreational side.
I wonder if that's under Medicare.
I'll follow up on the other question too. So as for the sewer use, so as I understand it too, and I'm pretty familiar with the sewer uses in Bolton and Connecticut or Coventry, that the initial, when they ran the sewers up, they're actually utilizing a lot less sewer flow than what they actually expected. So I think there is a lot more capacity. A place like Coventry or Bolton would not really be able to support a cultivation facility, and cultivation is actually not allowed in these areas. Cultivation is only allowed in very specific areas in the state of Connecticut, which are designated as DAI areas. And if they ever do elaborate and allow them to expand out from there, cultivation would not probably be able to fit because of the size of that they can go. The micro cultivation, in my opinion, is a very good fit for a Coventry or a Bolton, because a micro cultivation is a much smaller size. And they start out as small as 2,000 square feet, which is your average size of your house. That's as big as the facility. So that's all the water there. I mean, you could have people that have a whole basement filled up with 1,000 square feet of plants. And, you know, a micro cultivation could be as small as 2,000 square feet. So the utilization for water is not going to be that abundant. And you would not ever exceed the capacity that you could run up and down 44, if that was going to be the case, and you were to ever permit micro cultivation. Cultivation, on the other hand, that's a whole other animal, where you could go up to 250,000 square feet for a cultivation, but micro cultivation only allows between as small as 2,000 and as large as 10,000 to start with. And that's all you can do. And that's where you get a lot more of like your fine-tuned craft, and it's just a lot more consolidated where it could actually be in a lot more places. And it's not as cumbersome, and it's just a lot cheaper to get done.
So with our regulation that we're looking at, is that type of facility and the growing facility, are they lumped together?
we are not doing a growing, you're not allowing cultivation. We're not even at that. The only thing we're looking at is the retail sales. Retail sales, prohibition, or extension of the moratorium. Those are the three options on the table. So
this micro thing is not a subject that we need to deal with.
No, not right now.
Interesting.
All right, Rodney.
I had a question for Mike. Mike?
Yeah.
Hi. Those six items you listed where the tax dollars have to go to, do they have to go on a pro rata basis, or can you pick and choose those items that you want to fund for a year?
So I believe there are specifications in the act for how the funds come in, but the way that it was written is that you basically have to be able to demonstrate that the funds that came in when to whatever account when they left funded one of those programs. So you're not committing to one. Those six items are the potential possibilities, and you can distribute those funds however you want between any of them. You don't have to commit to one.
Oh, so you could fully fund one of those six and or the other five and not get in trouble.
Right. Yeah. You could say, I'm going to spend all of that money on the first one, which is making improvements to streetscapes, sidewalks, whatever, and just say, that's all we're going to use it for.
I was just wondering, because the employment opportunities for every store I go in is looking for help, and signs are all over the place. I just wonder, that would be kind of a waste of money, because there's jobs out there if you want to work, I guess. Okay, thank you.
Rodney?
So I have a comment on the homegrown stuff. That's only for personal consumption, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not supposed to, at the point it leaves your property and somebody else, then it's against the law.
Yeah, they do have things where people try to get around that. They call it gifting, or you can make donations. Like, you could buy a t-shirt off me, and with that t-shirt, you get a ounce of cannabis. Right. So there are a lot of ways that people get around this. But, you know, theoretically, it is for consumption and home use. I don't know that they've had anything with some states, and I don't know if this is yet. Some states allow you to be a caregiver, so you can grow and you can be a caregiver for somebody else. I don't know that's permitted here yet, but I know certain states, like in Rhode Island and stuff like that, you can actually grow it in your house for other people. And I'm not sure if Connecticut's like that right now.
So you're not going to go to grandma's house, grow it there, and take it home?
Oh, I'm sure people will.
So,
Mr. Chairman, you need to just make sure, for the record, whoever's talking needs to state their name, just so you know, please. Sorry, Rodney and Andrew.
Okay. Any, what would an expected revenue be? If we get 3%, is it $100,000 or?
So this is where being
Andrew Lodega speaking.
Yeah, Andrew Lodega, 2012 Boston Turnpike. This is where being first to the market is very important, and getting the retail sales and potentially the micro cultivation side of it, because you're going to attract the best fish in the beginning. As the market gets diluted, you're just going to get people that can come into the market that don't have the funds and are not going to be able to have the business. And you want to establish yourself and your roots as quick and early as you can to be that driver where everybody knows, and that's what creates the revenue. I was actually talking to somebody today in a small little store. I don't know all the details on it, but they ended up generating through their store. I was told that they did $23 million last year. So you would get 3% of $23 or $27 million is what that store did last year. So, and it wasn't a big store in a main facility, but once again, they have a good presence. And it's also, it depends on if you get the people that have the right brand, the right kind, and the right aura. It's kind of like you get like a Munson's. People go to Munson's because it's Munson chocolate. If me or you tried to open up Jimmy's chocolate, we're not going to be that successful. And that's why you want to try to capture the market where the people that have the money that are going to bring the best economic development, the best buildings, the best business, and cater to the town's needs, because they have the disposable money. That's another reason why it's very important to be the first to market and be the most alluring town to capture that versus just getting, you know, somebody that, you know, 5 years later down the road that comes along and is just like, okay, well, he can do it and he get it, and he's just a small mom and pop.
Okay. Anything else, Rodney?
No.
Tom, did you have anything you wanted to say?
No.
Let's see. Jeremy, did you have anything you wanted to say?
No, I'm just trying to take this all in and, you know, figure it all out.
Okay, thank you. Tom Crockett, anything else?
No, I'm all set, I think. I did want to say I saw where Simsbury banned retail cannabis sales last month for an 18-month ban on retail cannabis sales. So watch the summons in the paper. I'm not sure what the percentage of towns are extending or okaying. I saw some in the paper, but I forgot which issue I saw. And this is kind of like, seems like it's all over.
Thank you. Kuan, did you have anything you wanted to say?
I think discussions tonight and the active participation from those that have spoken tonight definitely has been helpful. I definitely see a lot on the table for either going one direction or the other. I do have some opinions myself based upon what I heard tonight, my own additional research. I don't know if that's appropriate now to go into, or if we wanted to.
Yes, it would be.
Okay. So I do agree, and I do apologize if I get this individual's name wrong. I believe his name was Andrew. He was kind of recently speaking. Mr. Andrew Lagata, I think.
Yes.
Okay. I do agree with a lot of his particular points. I think being first in a situation like this, being proactive, because I don't really foresee, you know, if we're late to the party, this is not something that's going to go away. This is not something that's going to stop. There was a point that was brought up by another individual that talked about driving to other locations. My counter argument to that, just trying to think out loud, was if I drive somewhere, I can also then drive back. So the risk of, say, a potential accident on the road, I don't think is mitigated by having someone drive, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes down the road, either to Manchester or some other neighboring town. I can easily drive that 10 minutes back and easily, you know, if there's a situation where that person is under the influence, you know, the accident can very well happen in Bolton, and we can still have an issue with, you know, police response. You know, that same police response where another gentleman talked about, it took 45 minutes for a state trooper to arrive from Salem. I mean, so if something's going to happen, it's going to happen regardless if we allow it or don't allow it. We don't live in a bubble. I mean, people are free to move around. And I think kind of getting on the approach of trying to be in that early game plan of trying to, you know, go through regulations. I'm hearing applicants. I'm not sure if we are a will issue committee or shall issue, but I think just kind of being first and hoping to trust the process that we have and the security and the state mandates that go along for people that organizations that are looking to open retail sale cannabis positions. I think we should trust the process and be ahead of the curve versus being behind it. I think the pros outweigh the cons at this point.
Thank you. Steve Clark.
I have a wide range of opinions. I'm not sure if this is the time or place to voice them individually, but.
Yes, it's very appropriate.
my personal position is, as I sit here and listen to the discussions, I appreciate both the pros and cons to everyone's point of view. Personally, if folks were able to produce this on their own at their house, and other locations are pursuing this, I personally don't see the benefit or the value for Bolton to take part. I don't see the upside to it, quite frankly. I guess.
Thank you.
I'd have to hear more of the upside and why Bolton would want to take a position to want to pursue this. Sometimes first is always not the best position to take. I'll just leave it at that.
One more question, Jim.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes, Jim.
So we talk about being first on the block and last on the block. The companies that most of these are started by companies, right? That who opened this are there? No. So how does someone do? You know, like if a McDonald's is opening, they determine that there's going to be 20,000 cars that they need to service to serve those hamburgers, and so this is where we're going. So I guess being first is always good because you're the only one on the block, but our town being smaller, the town on Manchester is definitely much bigger, and they're going to, I'm sure, have a place and probably a bigger place because there's more people. And I would think Coventry just loves to put up buildings and do that. So Coventry, so are we going to get a first line? I mean, I guess the only advantage I see is that we would get some money for taxes. That's the only thing I don't, other than that, I don't think there's any other reason for us to have it. But if we're going to say that and we're going to do that, then how much is our little town business going to provide when we have larger towns around us? I mean, you know, what's the population of our town? You know, 4,000 people? 4,800. What's the population of Manchester? What's the population? I mean, Is a viable business going to want to come to our town? Because obviously, if they put them every 3 miles, like Dollar General, I mean, somewhere along that line, they're sharing all that profit. So if I was going to do it, I think I would have one in Manchester, one in Bolton and Coventry. Then yeah, you're getting a whole piece of pie. But if a big guy's in opens up a store in Coventry, and another big guy opens a store in Manchester, and we're left here in the middle, I mean, what is that going to produce for us, I guess? I mean,
you also have to take into consideration, we're right in between Vernon and Glastonbury as well. So two other very large, we're surrounded by.
We're this, you know, I mean, I hear all this 3%. I mean, 3% of $27, you know, million dollars, I'm sure Pam would love in her budget. But, you know, if it's 3% of $100,000, is it really worth it? I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just worried about being first on the block is always, yes, definitely good. But if we're first and Coventry and Manchester are second, third, and they, you know, I have a house in another state, and you know, some of those cannabis stores are huge, you know, and I can't see one being in Coventry, one being in Manchester, and someone want to build another one here.
Andrew Latiga, 2012 Boston Turnpike. So to your point, you are correct. Being first to market is a good thing, because in this industry, it's all about brand. Like Treehouse Brewery, very recognized. They're off in the middle of the woods, but they've got lines out the door, and they've got thousands of people that go there because they have a brand, and that's what you're trying to allure. As a town, you want to basically be able to put it out there where you want to attract the people that you want or the business that you want. And a lot of times you'll get that on more of a craft basis. For instance, there's cannabis industries out there like your big guys, your Curaleafs, your Trueleafs, and your big MSO companies that are either nationwide or they're big companies that have a lot of things. A lot of people don't like those companies, like your McDonald's. It's like, does McDonald's make the best hamburger or does somebody else? I mean, like just for instance, like Munson Chocolate, like we talked about that. Munster Chocolate is not the biggest chocolate maker, you know, in the world, but, you know, they have a really good specialized product. A lot of people are going to drive from one side of the state to there because they have what they want. And in this market with cannabis is, everything is, it's not the same. Everything is about strain and brand and what they create. A lot of these cannabis companies try to create their own unique flavor like they would with a beer, so people will come to there and actually establish themselves and establish groups in that community where people go to that. And you want to try to do your best to your ability to try to create that destination location for a craft place so people recognize it. And always, just like they have a little, like the Bidwell Tavern in Coventry. Everybody knows the Bidwell Tavern. It's a one-off thing, but everybody knows there and gets their beer and their wings, and that's what they do, and that's what they're known for. And people will travel all distances to go there. So that's where the town comes in on their side for economic development, to try to enable and try to, you know, if they have the opportunity to do that or bring that to their town, that's what they want to do. And that's how they're going to get their little location to be a big location, to increase their sales, to increase their name brand, and establish those roots for the community and you know, kind of be known for that strain or that craft or whatever it is that they do. And they do it well, and they do it the best, and they're the only ones to do it.
So each individual place produces, so that's what I guess I don't understand. If it's the best of the best that you're getting, what would stop whoever's selling in Bolton that great stuff? Why wouldn't he sell it in Coventry too? I mean, everybody has to be buying it from a central grower.
Yes and no. So the central growers are like, you have your places that mass produce it, like your Curaleafs. I mean, they have a big, you know, warehouse, and that's what they do. But the bigger you get, you can't always be the best at what you do. That's why you have craft brewers. It's like anybody can go to the package store and get Budweiser. Biggest beer on the planet. Does it taste good? No, people don't really want it. It's like, you know, but if you go to like, you know, like a Treehouse, or you go to like, you know, some of these other craft brewers in the state, like people flock to them to, because they have like their seasonal beers or their seasonal times, or they make it, and they're the ones that are known for it. And that's where a lot of these micro cultivators, they do it on a unique basis for themselves, and they basically have their product. Like, you can't get that product in certain other stores. Whereas your Curaleafs, the problem with it is once you get too big, it gets hard to control certain things, like your molds, your pesticides and stuff like that, because you have more problems the bigger you go. So if you can confine it and you can establish yourself and have a brand and a name for yourself, that's where you create that following. And then you kind of do that as well with other things that you can build in and around it, and you kind of make it that destination location, and that's what's going to want people to come back to you.
Right, but as a planning and zoning commission, we can't regulate that.
No, you can't, but that's what you
I do. Mean, whatever the big company is could say, we want to open a place in Bolton. We have really no choice of saying yes or no. So, just like Dollar General, we, you know, people don't like Dollar General, but they meet the criteria.
The chair is going to, we've only got about 10 minutes until we turn into a pumpkin, and
okay. I'm sorry,
and we do have another item on the agenda. So at this point, now can we, Patrice? Can we extend the public hearing, or can we?
I think your time is up before the April okay. meeting. So you either need to make a decision to extend the moratorium, or you need to make a decision on the applications, the two items themselves.
You can't extend.
You can't extend the public hearing unless you do okay. it like in 2 weeks or something.
But we can extend the.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, got it.
All right, so.
Let me just ask this question, though. If you're planning to extend it, what is it that you're extending it for?
No, I just want to offer the board the option, but I think we're ready to close the public hearing at this point.
Yeah.
Can I just ask a quick question? I apologize for the late to the party here. What are the how do I find this list of how the funding can be spent?
Didn't say it was a state statute.
Yeah.
Chapter 420.
I can
I mean, I have it on a slide. I'd be happy to.
Can you send the slide to me, Mike? I could email it out. Do you want to see it like right now, Jeremy, or do you want?
No. If I could just get where I can be directed towards it, or, you know, because I want to, you know, be as knowledgeable as I possibly can on all avenues.
Jeremy, are you on a computer or a phone?
I am on my computer.
I'm going to drop the PowerPoint into the chat. And that should, hopefully you can get to it there. And if not, we can send it out.
Well, he's going to send it out now. So do I have a motion to close the public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we close the public hearing on PL 22-6.
So all three items.
All three items. Yes, I'm sorry.
I'll second it.
And we have a second, Tom Robbins. Okay, I will call the roll. Jeremy Flick.
Aye.
Kwan Gordon.
Aye.
Rodney Fournier.
Aye.
Colleen Fiena.
Aye.
Jim Crofton.
Aye.
Tom Robbins.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Okay, now we have to.
Mr. Chairman, this is the clerk.
Yes.
Who actually made the motion?
Jim Crofton.
I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, discussion, possible decision. Now, we either have to extend the moratorium or take action at this
point. Correct. And if you're extending the moratorium, you need to give staff instruction on what you want. Or if you need us to get anything, are you extending the moratorium because you need more information and you want to have more public hearings, or that's what I'm asking.
I don't want to have a public hearing, but I'm not sure whether we can take action tonight. Let me just pull the board briefly. I'm ready to adopt the regulations that we propose for the public hearing for retail sales. But if anybody wants to say, but if you want to say no, then.
And those are here.
Or.
They're right here.
Yeah. Or we can simply adopt a regulation that prohibits.
No, I'm ready to adopt the draft.
Okay. Pardon?
Moratorium.
I'm on the fence.
Moratorium.
I don't know if I can get any information to help me make my decision.
Well, we might be able to get some sales or whatever.
It sounded like Kwan Gordon was ready to vote. What about you, Jeremy?
I'm gonna go with moratorium. I'm still just not where I need to be.
Thank you. Patrice, it looks like we'd like to extend the moratorium to give us time to act on the regulations.
Okay, so
it's not to gather more information.
I just got to digest the information that I've heard. I mean,
okay.
Can we table the vote and not extend the moratorium?
Because we're on a deadline.
Yeah, our current moratorium is generally to expire. So,
if you extend the moratorium, then I think you can leave the other items. It's your application. So, I mean, you don't have a deadline in which to, you know, have the 65 days in which to make a decision because it's your application. But if you're extending the moratorium,
but if the moratorium expires, it means that we would have to process an application is the most
similar. Right, but you're talking about voting to extend the moratorium for another 3 months. So do you want to go till July?
Yes.
So that would put you to the full year based on when you started?
Yes, I would, because we can act sooner.
You can act, absolutely you can. Yeah. And then, that's what I would do. If that's what you want to do, then you would make a motion to extend the current moratorium to July. Let me just see when your July meeting is. March, April, May, June. July meeting is on the 12th. So I would say till July 13th. And then carry on from there. And you can have discussions or whatever, however you want to carry this on the agenda. If you want, you know, us to provide you with more information, or you can gather your own information, however you want to do that.
May I ask a question?
Yes, Steve.
I think it was time.
Can we, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, can we poll the board as to what their official position is as of tonight, and what more specifically they need to, in terms of information, what they need is why they're taking the position they are.
My understanding was that Arlene and I and Kwan were ready to approve the regulations as they were presented, and the other four members would prefer to extend the moratorium, and they'd like to discuss it some more.
So I just want specifically what. I just want to digest what I've heard. I mean, I don't think I need any more information, because it seems like the more I get, the more I get confused. But I would just like to, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make something in 5 minutes that's going to be with the town for the rest of its life.
I think Jim has stated the opinion of all the members at this
point. I was mine.
Yeah.
And personally, I have to pull my constituents. I have to talk to people. You know, I have my ear to the street constantly, and I want to make sure that I make the best decision that I possibly can for my community.
The board clerk has her hand up.
I think that was from before, but Linda, if you do. Okay. Nope, that was from before.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we extend the moratorium on PL 22-6 until July 13th.
Second.
Who seconded that?
Kwan Gordon.
Okay.
I'm going to poll the board. Jeremy?
Aye.
Kwan?
Aye.
Tom Robbins?
Aye.
Jim Cropley?
Aye.
Rodney?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. It's unanimous. Okay.
Well, once again, I just will ask, is there something that we can gather for you, or that you, I mean, I don't know, is there any information you want additionally from us?
I think we just want to have time to talk about it.
All right. Fair enough.
Grace?
Yes.
Tom Crockett, I just had, if you could find out if this price is fixed for the marijuana that you can buy. I'm looking, it looks like, I don't know how much you can buy, or whatever, is a quarter ounce, is there competition? Or do you have to sell at the state minimum?
If the price is fixed?
Yes. I mean, you could buy a pound of ham for $2.99 or $9.99. You know, can you, is the price you can spend in a store, is that fixed?
Okay.
What amount you want to buy?
No, Tom, it's all based on quality. It's a whole different tier system as far as the product is considered.
Well, I would just like to see what you find out about it, because part of me says it would be advantageous to be one of the first kids on the block, but I don't know anything about it. I had friends who went up to Massachusetts and they said that the price was the same everywhere they went. So I was just wondering if that's true.
Okay.
I don't know. That might have changed too. That's.
I'm going to move on to new business application, special permit for Candle Studio and Retail Store, 299 Boston Turnpike, Megan Crandall, application number PL-23-3. And the petitioner is here.
Yes, I am. Megan Crandall, 299 Boston Turnpike, Suite D. I'm looking to open up a candle retail and production store at that location. It's 2,100 square feet. I would say about 600 square feet will be used for candle classes and front area retail. And the back half of the store will be used for storage and production.
Thank you.
With that, I will be teaching classes during the day where people can come in during open studio hours and come make a candle or purchase something from the retail store. And then also I will have private hours where they can schedule, say, a birthday party or a bachelorette party and come make a candle with their family, friends as a gathering.
So what we need to do is receive the application and set a public hearing. Patrice,
yes. I'm asking yes. a question.
Okay. So do we have a motion to accept the application?
So moved.
And set the hearing date for April 12th was your next meeting. I'm assuming Ms. Crandall can make it.
I will be there.
Virtually or in person, whichever.
Yes, and
I'll second it.
And Jim Cropley seconds. Motion Arlene Fiano second Jim Cropley.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And the chair votes aye. Okay. It's unanimous. Thank you so much for coming out and for waiting for all that time. I hope it was a civic education.
Did that have to get from the fire department? Does that have to get permission from the fire department?
Ooh.
Candle place?
Well, it'll be done as part of the package. Part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Good luck.
I have one question under correspondence.
Okay.
During the COVID period, we were sending out a draft, if you will, agenda on a Friday for you, the week before. And then typically Danielle would send out the final agenda and packet on Monday or Tuesday, whatever day it was. Do we need to continue to send the draft agenda on Friday? I think what happened this time is we knew what was going to be on there and we had the packet ready. So you did receive the final agenda and information on Friday. I'm just wondering if we can do it, you know, on either on Friday or Monday, depending on the packet, and that's it. Or do you like to have the draft agenda on Friday either way?
I think we should have, my opinion would be to have it on Monday in the final one. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Anybody else?
Monday's fine with me.
Monday's good. Yeah.
Because sometimes things change from Friday to Monday. Correct?
Sometimes they do. Yeah. I mean, we typically send out a draft agenda and something will get added for Monday. It's not often. But you know, Tom looks at the agenda before we issue it. And typically what I say to him is if there's anything else that comes in, we'll add it to the agenda. But
yeah, for me, I mean, now that I know that it's just a draft on Friday, I don't want to, I shouldn't sound like this, but I don't look at the draft. I wait until Monday and
okay.
It's for real.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. That's right. At all.
I think that's fine. I mean, I kind of presumed that that's what y'all did, but I wasn't. I'm just checking. I mean, it would just be one less step for Danielle. But if you want the draft, we'll continue it. I told her I would ask you, and so that's why I'm asking.
Make her life easier.
Yeah, it sounds like Monday's fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other than that, there was the other correspondence was read during the public hearing.
Sometimes we get massive 80-page packets. Can that come out on a Friday? We have all those things.
Well, because that's why the Monday is the final packet, because of the time deadline for the meeting. So that's why it comes Monday.
Okay.
That's even better. Could it be possible to split that 80 pack variety to 40 of each?
Oh, split easier. It into two?
Yeah, it's a little easier.
Could ask her. I don't know the logistics to it, Quan, but I can certainly ask her that.
Yeah, the computer memory is doesn't really like the 80 page variant all the time.
Okay. just for the future reference for the agenda for next month, what do you want me to do with the three cannabis items then? Are we putting them on for discussion or for just the commission, not yes. Hearing? That's okay. Right. All right.
The hearing is closed, right?
The hearing is closed.
Yes, hearing closed the hearing. Yep.
Yeah, my feeling is I just have to digest everything I heard tonight.
That's fine. Yeah, I just want to make sure we'll carry it. But we'll, yeah. Megan, obviously, Mrs. Crandall will obviously be the first item as a public hearing.
Yeah.
Anyway. As a public hearing?
It's a special permit to open her candle store.
Oh, okay.
I thought we thought, didn't I think that we didn't think she had to do that?
Does she not need us? Does she not?
We originally thought it was the zoning thing, just to switch the zoning from a restaurant to a retail space, but it's a special permit, I guess.
And you guys decided at the last meeting that it was a special permit and not a simple staff modification.
Oh, right. I remember.
Although I still feel as a staff member, it's a simple staff modification, but that's okay.
So I do have a question now, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't ask all these questions, but originally I think we thought of doing it because wasn't there something about alcohol?
I can answer all of that. Okay. I will not be selling alcohol. There's no alcohol sales whatsoever. My candles are made in upcycled beer cans. Some of them are, and some of them are made in regular containers. The idea behind the space is that it is BYOB, BYOF. I'm right next to Subway, Georgina's. My idea is bring over your lunch, bring over your soda, come drink. And if someone wants to bring a beer from the package store, which is right next door to me as well, and they come with their family and friends, and they have like a platter, just like you would at a brewery, you bring some food over, or say at a paint and sip night, like you would paint and maybe you'd sip a glass of wine. Nothing is sold there as far as alcohol is concerned.
And from the public health standpoint, she doesn't actually need any kind of permit from them unless she's serving food or something, but she's not going to be serving it. There'd be people bringing their own stuff.
I guess I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, I guess I misunderstood the whole thing before, but I'm getting older, I guess.
Well,
better than the opposition.
We still need a special permit or a zoning?
My suspicion is you could bring a bottle of beer into Subway and drink it too. If you went.
No, I thought we did that because we thought there was an alcohol connection. But
yeah,
I
was going to say I did raise that question the last meeting. So I think this is what is now being discussed, but it doesn't sound like any special situation has arisen.
So do we, I guess we already started it, so I guess we can't stop it.
You can.
So we can determine whether or not we need this.
You can determine that it's a minor modification to the existing Jiao Pai restaurant. I mean, they have a permit, special permit there already for a full-blown restaurant. She's right. Not really. She's doing retail as opposed to
make a motion to do that.
Do we need a motion for that?
Do we need a motion to do that, or can the staff do that?
We
Mike, help me out here, but I think the regulation says that the commission can determine that the staff can review and do the plans.
Yeah, I think that since we brought it here and they said no, we want a special permit, and that was the original order, it would probably be better to have something more official from them, if at least a consensus
otherwise, the takeaway is going to be that we should ignore their opinions, and I don't want that to be how the breadcrumb trail tracks through the minute.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we take application number PL-23-3 and have it be determined by the town staff.
Can I add something to your motion, Jim, if you wouldn't mind saying after discussing it with the applicant and also to maybe amend what she has paid in the application fee to fit the zoning application. So if she's overpaid, then we would refund that.
Yep, that too. The mic must have been down too low. You didn't hear me.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Motion Jim Cropley, second Rodney Fournier. Does the board clerk have their hand up again?
I do.
Okay.
Do you have to rescind your prior motion?
Yes, about the public hearing, that's included. The intention is to include that.
Yeah, this owl doesn't hear too well.
Okay. Do you need the motion restated, Linda?
Can you send me something?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks, perfect.
Thank you, Patrice. Now, Jim. Item number nine.
You need a vote.
We need a vote. I'm sorry.
You're making me nervous here. I thought you were going to make me repeat that.
I have one more question before you vote.
Okay.
Since Arlene made the motion, isn't she the one that has to rescind it?
Jim made this one.
No, but you made the original.
I made the original one. I can rescind that, yes.
So, okay, so the original motion to hold the public hearing, Arlene made, Jim seconded. Arlene is now making a motion to rescind that, and Jim is seconding that. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that was all in favor, if I heard you correctly.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. So the new motion is to, after hearing from the applicant, that the staff could handle special permit number PL-23-3 under a minor modification, and the applicant would be afforded any overpayment of fees beyond the zoning permit and what's required there. And that was made by Jim, seconded by
Arlene. Rodney.
Rodney.
Yeah.
All right, now you have a vote.
Okay, so now we have two motions.
No, we already voted on one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One.
Okay, we were okay.
Yeah.
We were all in favor.
All right, we're voting on the second motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
Aye. Hearing none, the motion is unanimous. Now item number nine.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
You now are working with staff only. You don't have to come back for a special permit. And it sounds like you'll get a refund.
Refund, yeah.
There's not as much.
I just thought originally, I thought there was, I don't know, I guess the beer can or whatever came into it. And probably we thought.
And you can blame me because it says right here in the minutes, T. Manning said there should be a special permit application.
If we just can take a second, Megan, you have applied already, and Michael helped me with the permit because she's already got an application in that we can handle.
Yeah, right. Did one.
Yeah, so we can refund the PL-23-3, and then we can keep the Z-23-5, which is still active.
So we'll take it from here, Megan, and get you back an answer then.
Do you want to refund only part of what was given because you had refunded me previously for the original?
Yes. We'll figure out the accounting with that.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I called a lot of confusion, didn't I? I should stay home and Zoom more often.
No, Jim, it's great having you back.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Meeting is ended at 9:14 p.m. Thank you all.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. Everybody have a good night now.